Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello and welcome back to Mission Accepted. I am so excited that you're here. We are coming to a very, very, very powerful podcast today because you know how much I believe in words on paper, right? It is so impressionable. I am sure all of you out there have read something or seen something or screenshotted a meme and it's sitting in your camera roll. You probably have a whole bunch of them and your phone's not working properly because we get so impressed upon, whether it's 5 words, whether it's a quote, whether it's a chapter. And even if I was to ask you, and I'm talking to you, audience, because you talk to me all the time, and thank you, thank you, thank you. You are like the best. And if there's other podcast hosts listening, sorry, we have the best audience. They ask questions, they share the shows, but you do let me know. I'd love for you to send me on social, everybody. What is your favorite book? But what was it that you remembered about that favorite book? Because many times a book will make an impression upon us and we'll remember a phrase or we'll remember a feeling that it evoked, right? That's what good books do. The thing I love about books is that they're so valuable. They're so valuable because I'm sure all of you have moved. I know that one of our guests, Kathy, certainly has moved. And I'm sure when she has just come through that move, I'm sure she was unpacking books. We buy book cases. We buy furniture to put our books in because they're that valuable. We don't just put them in recycling, right? Like we may a magazine after a good long time of sitting on the coffee table, right? But we pass our books on because they're just so full of valuable. Now, so full of valuable, so full of value. I'll correct my own words today. So I want to thank you, audience. And we are going to be talking to a group of authors that are in different processes of maybe their first book, writing their second book. There's people out there that are thinking about writing a book. And it's really interesting. I was on a great call yesterday with a bunch of women from 262. And we were talking about authoring. And when authors get together, it's like we feel like everyone's authoring, but the truth still lies in that less than 3% of people actually put their words into this creative process of writing into a book that goes to market. And so when you're in it, right, when you're hanging out with authors, you think everybody goes through this process, but that is actually very much not the case yet. Over 90% of people would like to write a book. Isn't that interesting? So the accessibility to write books are so available now. Anyways, I'm not going to make this about me or about writing. I want to get in and talk to some people that have actually done that or in through that process. And you know what? I'm going to just get our guest today. As I say your name, if you can just kind of put your hand up because, you know, we have some people that are listening and some people that are, you know, watching. And so by putting your hand up, we'll be able to see who you are. And if you're just listening, well, you know what? When you get home, watch this and you'll be able to see who we're talking about. So I'd like to introduce Rachel Collins. Just give us a nice wave. We have Yvonne Silver. Oh my gosh. We have Kathy Holt and we have Peter Kelly. We have some Canada in the house today. We have some Canada in the house today. All right. So let's talk about it. Maybe our authors today were impressed upon by a book that they had while they were growing up. So I'm going to start with you, Rachel. Was there a book that made an impression upon you? I mean, it could have been a childhood favorite, something that you really loved, or was it, you know, something else that just overrode that has made an impression upon you?
Yeah. So lots of Canada in the house today for sure. My favorite book growing up was Anne of Green Gables. And I loved the language of it. I loved the feeling of it. And it was a character that was just independent and fierce and loving and would make mistake after mistake and learn and grow and recover from that. And so that was a book that I read over and over for most of my childhood.
Oh my goodness. And see, I think that's really interesting how we can relate to the characters. Not that maybe you were making a mistake. When you say mistakes over and over again, it reminds me of sitting there Saturday afternoon watching Pippi Longstocking. Oh, okay. I've got a birthday coming up. If anyone remembers Pippi Longstocking, me and you, we need to talk. But it's so interesting, right? It's almost like sometimes through characters, it gives us allowance. That's amazing. And Yvonne, how about yourself?
I didn't have one particular favorite author. I had a collection of nursery rhymes, and that was a combination of poetry and story and beautiful illustrations. And that kept my interest because there was so much variety in there, but there was always a common thread with a happy ending. It's almost like watching the Hallmark Channel, right? There's a secret recipe to distrust, and then there's success at the end, and everyone falls in love happily. So those were my favorites, but not one particular book.
Oh my goodness. I love happy endings. I think for me, because for me, media, the books or magazines, or when I go to a movie, I like to get lost in a story. It's me getting out of my life. And who doesn't want to have a happy ending or watch a happy ending? But that's awesome. And Kathy, what about yourself?
For me, I was an avid reader very, very early on. And whenever we'd go to the store or the grocery store, even I'd want a book, not candy or something like that. But really the book that impacted me so much was called Flowers for Algernon. And I read it in about sixth or seventh grade. And it's about a man who has a low IQ that's put in a science experiment and becomes brilliant. But then as time goes off, he loses that ability and goes back to who he was. And I'm getting chills talking about it, but what it taught me was to grab life, because while he could, he did everything and experienced everything he could possibly experience, because he knew this might not last forever. And so that's really what the one that really hit me hard, and really, I think, started the whole process of me saying yes.
Oh, wow. That's profound. I mean, that sounds like, if someone read that book in their 30s, but to read it in grade 6 or 7 and to have that kind of experience, yeah. Wow. I have, knowing you and your role in world leadership, I get it. I love how you get to know people and you get to know people. You're like, okay, now it's making sense. Thank you so much. And Peter, what about yourself?
Yes, Deborah, thanks, first of all, for having us. This is a wonderful opportunity for not only to meet each other, but also to talk about ourselves a little bit. And I know for myself, I'm usually in a different position where I'm the listener and I'm, doing a lot of nodding and using empathy, because I'm a clinical hypnotherapist. Previously, I was working as a clinical psychologist. And how did I get to that point? Well, this goes back many, many years. I'm not going to say when, because you're going to know how old I am. But nevertheless, we're talking about the 70s when I first came across the writing of Dr. Wayne Dyer. And Dr. Wayne Dyer, of course, most of you probably know, was very, very much involved in the New Wave movement and an inspirational speaker. He wrote many, many books. But the first book that I came across by him was called The Sky's the Limit in the 70s. And that book just totally transformed my view on things. At the time, I was working for my father in a business. It was office equipment, and I was in the role of repairing typewriters. I was a technician, basically. And I was getting a little bit more and more disheartened by what I was doing. And my life, I just felt, was going nowhere. But when I read The Sky's the Limit, I mean, it's like a total transformation. I ended up leaving the job, not right away. I went back to university. I completed my degrees, my graduate degrees, and went on to become a psychologist and started my practice. And so it just shows you, you know, don't lose hope. There's always something out there for you. It takes time sometimes, but you get a book like this, it just can change everything.
Thank you so much for reminding us that. And I think that we all could probably put our hand up at some point where there's been a message that needs to come to. And many times when I'm talking to clients, I'll say, especially when they're making a change or needing to make a change, and I'm like, watch for the book that gets thrown on the floor in front of you. That's just my analogy of something's going to open your world. And isn't that what books do? They take you to another place. They inspire you. They motivate you. I always say, you know, a good book happens when you need to find an answer either there or where it travels you to, right? One book introduces you to maybe the author that takes you to a speaking engagement that they've done that takes you to, you know, I ended up in actually New York at the Omega Institute listening to Cheryl Strayed in a writing workshop before I ever decided to, just because I was really made an impression upon the journey of the movie, you know, and that her book turned into. So that's, thank you so much for taking us through that little bit of that journey. Why don't we do this? I'm sure the audience is like, okay, you've got a group of authors here. They've been inspired. They, you know, they've had movement, and I want to know how to do that too. These are people that take the mission. That's what this show is about. So again, Rachel, let's go back to you. What is your book? Are you in the process of another book? Like, tell us where you are as an author right now.
Yeah. So I had done two children's books. So those I published years ago. The book that is new for me that I'm really excited about is called Insights and Inspirations, 300 Journal Prompts for Cultivating Joy, Gratitude, and Mindfulness. And so the way that I wrote this actually was for myself. I was creating journal prompts when I was going through a really challenging period of life. And I had friends just encourage me, like, you need to share this. You need to find a way to share this. It led to me publishing. So having done two children's books in the past, I think just gave me the way of doing that easily. But this one is very meaningful for me, and I've been getting really great feedback on it. I am in the process of launching another one, which is called the Focus Flow Planner. And so it is a system to basically help people identify the top priorities in their life and then work on those in 90-day planning cycles. So a lot of interrelated projects that I'm just very excited about at this time.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. And we'll have everyone's information in the show notes if people want more. They're like, children's book. I mean, it'll be awesome. So Yvonne, what about yourself? Where are you at?
Well, I just want to loop back to that previous question, because I was thinking, you know, why did I not have one favorite book that spurred me into authorship? And I think what it was, Deb, is my dad, who was PTSD, came back from World War II, got a bullet in Dunkirk. He was such an angry man and such a strict parent that he was forcing me to do homework. And I was the adventurous soul who didn't want to do it. So I resisted. However, English Lit was my top mark in school. So there was a sign there, but that's why I actually wrote my book, this one, Words, Women and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, to honor my mom, who was literally had the dignity drained right out of her because he constantly criticized her all the time, took her power. She didn't have a job anymore. She was a stay-at-home mom, and he took the car keys and wouldn't let her drive the car after she taught him to drive. So a lot of things going on. But that book now, I'm looking at doing an additional, either a second version or a leadership version, because this one is for every woman. And there's 40 words and word concepts to help them to ask for what they want and get it. And I think that's powerful in leadership too.
Yvonne, thank you so much for sharing that, because we talk about getting inspiration from books, and sometimes we don't talk. And Peter, thank you for that. I think it was one of the questions that I like to ask is, where did the inspiration come from? I mean, Rachel, you talked about you were doing these journal prompts because you were getting yourself through something. And, you know, the idea, I love when friends are like, yes, it's a good idea. And I love when friends say it's a good idea, but, you know what I mean? It's nice, like, you know, give me the truth. But, and then Yvonne, for you to be able to, I mean, you know your content, right? You know your content whether it's from a personal experience, watching a personal experience, or what have you. That was really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. It reminds me of the one book that made a big impression on me in my teens was very similar in the sense that I found myself. So, you know, I was a creative in a family that was very, you know, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. They kept wondering when I was going to move out to the Valley. You know, I wanted to be near the ocean and all the things. And I was young. I was, you know, my favorite class in school was art and all of that. And I remember reading a book called Living in the Light by Shakti Gaiwan. And it was the first time that there was this concept that there was this female energy and this male energy. And I was like, glory, hallelujah. I was just like, thank you, sister. You know what I mean? Thank you, sister, for explaining why I feel like there's two parts of me. And interestingly enough, I saw her maybe 20 years later speaking at a church downtown here in Vancouver. And she was like, I read my book, you know, 10 years after. And I was, what was I thinking? And I was like, no. It saved my life. Don't you dare change it now. But it's interesting, right? Like we write and sometimes people like go, yeah, but you know, the book that I wrote 10 years ago, the children's book that I wrote, you may all write multiple books, yet that book that you first wrote is going to inspire people when they need to find it, when they need to find it, which is why I'm very important. I find it very important to keep books alive. You know, sometimes people write books and then they just kind of like go over here and you don't hear about it again. Keeping books alive, because people need to read your book, Yvonne, in 5 years. Someone will be ready for your book in 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's why it's really great to do this. Okay, Kathy.
Well, I guess I was, where I am in my book is I'm writing a book about leadership for women. And it's really trying to create the motivation for women to lead, because I think every woman has what it takes to lead. The things that used to be considered soft skills or interpersonal skills are now key leadership skills. And so I want women to recognize that they are leaders, because so many of us have been programmed over the years. And Peter, I know the 70s. So, you know, the programming of not being, you know, not shrinking yourself to not be heard, to make other people happy before your own happiness, all those social conditionings, a lot of us still have them. Our culture still gives those messages. So I want women to realize that they have what it takes to be a leader, and that they should jump at it and step into their power, step out of those shadows and step into their power.
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. And for those that don't know, Kathy will be presenting her book for one of the very first times, if not the first time, at the Oscars February 27th at the Celebrity Hand Gifting Ceremony, which is ceremony lounge. They get champagne and caviar and then they get to, you know what I mean? So it's not really a ceremony, but it will be, because she will be there. In what a great place and a great platform to step into to have your book being seen. So congratulations on that. All right. Now, Peter, please tell us about your book. I know that you produced one, and I believe that there's a second one ready to launch. If it's not launched last week or what have you, it's very fresh and new. So please tell us the name and where that came from.
Okay. Well, the first book, I happen to have it right here, is The Keys to Success Are All in Your Mind. And so clearly we're talking about the fact that you have everything you need. It's just a question of unlocking in the subconscious mind. And this book basically talks about all the different things you can do in terms of holistic therapy, hypnosis, regular therapy, all the different types of Reiki, you know, all the different ways that you can be successful. And part of what it does is that it helps you to define in a more precise manner what success really means for you. Because everyone, as Kathy was saying before, we're conditioned, society conditions us to have a certain way of looking at success, which usually means money, which means position and prestige. But there's so many other ways that you can express success. The second book, I don't have it here. I don't know if I have time to share a picture of it. Do
Well,
I?
only if you can hold it up, but we don't do screen
Oh,
share on the
okay.
podcast.
So
Yeah. People are going to have to contact you.
I'll just say that the name of the book, which should be coming out probably the mid-January, is called How to Awaken Eternal Youth. You don't have to grow old. And that
Nice.
contains, yes, it contains, okay, an anti-aging modification program, which I'm really excited about because it shows people the steps you can take to harness your own ability to become young, eternal youth, longevity, health span. It talks about all that. It talks about the fountain of youth. It gives you a history of the fountain of youth and all the cultures over the years that have tried to embrace, hereafter life like Egypt. And it's a wonderful book. I'm really excited about it. As I say, I'm going to have links to my YouTube channel, which will help people understand how they can progress because it's going to have an assessment tool. So you can assess, okay, what supercharged areas that are linked to eternal youth, what are you doing? Are you engaging in them or are you not? And it gives you a way to calibrate and to measure that. And then I have another module that's going to show you progress, a progress chart over the 12-week program. So it's pretty exciting.
We can hear that. That's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, I love the variety. Like, if you think about the variety of just really myself included with the books that we produce between the five of us here, just the variety and the messages. I did a live yesterday because, of course, we're up for a holiday season where people like to purchase. And I was talking about buying from your community. Right, like buying from your community. And whether it's your community, like I went out into my community the other day and bought things to support the community. I also buy from my social media community, the community that supports me, right? Why am I going online to the big stores in the sky when I have so many people that are doing things? I talked about how you may not want to hire someone as a coach, but coaches might have journals, they might have books, they might have cups, they might have things, our podcast community, our group community. And there's so many incredible different things that people do. Now, and I want to talk a little bit about that. So many people that write books have other practices. Like I know, Peter, you have a practice. Kathy, you speak on leadership. Let's talk a little bit about what it was that made you decide to write a book. Books can be for people's credentials. Authoring is a big deal. It's a big deal. And sometimes those of us in the world of book land, we forget it's a big deal. What was it to support a project that you were doing? Was it because it was a lifelong dream? You always knew you needed to write one and it didn't even really matter what. It was a bucket list thing. So let's just go around a little bit about that and just say, was there something that you found that your book was useful for, right? We just finished producing a book of 262 women. Those women are using it as a platform to share mostly promote their business, their profit, their nonprofit. It is a very highly prized business tool, but it's also meant to have inspiration. But what was it for each one of those women? Some women didn't even put their business at all. It was to support International Women's Day, because that's the meaning behind the book. So what was yours? Because I think it'll help. Sometimes people think I need to write a book because I'm an author or I'm a writer. I need to write a book because everybody else is writing a book and I should write one too, and it's the thing that's going to crank my business. So let's have a conversation about that. Rachel, what was it about for you, why you decided to say yes to your friends and take this to market?
Yeah, so honestly, this was a passion project for me. It was something initially that I had done for myself. I had a family member who was going through a critical illness, and I absolutely had to have a way of still having joy and mindfulness and gratitude in my own life. And so I had been journaling for a full year, just to make sure that I stayed grounded, that I didn't get overwhelmed in it, that I was able to be there for myself in addition to being there for the person I loved. And so it was just a really powerful way of making sure that I was being true to myself, while also showing up well for others. And so when I shared this experience with my friends, a lot of them were also going through things where they felt overwhelmed or pulled in many directions, or, would have that guilty voice in their head saying, you have to do it all. And the journal prompts that I developed were really a way of just getting in touch every day with how you're feeling and what really matters to you and why. And so when I had this practice, I wanted to find a way to share it. And so it started with publishing, but it also has grown into offering online courses as well. So I have a program which is called Mindful Momentum, and I'm launching a Focus Flow Success Circle. And so all of it really has to do with being true and authentic to yourself. And to do that, you have to be in touch with yourself. You have to be honest and be able to really identify how you're feeling. And I just find journaling a very, very powerful way to do that.
Thank you for sharing that. So it started off as a passion project and then moved into something that was more of a business tool that now moved more into a business service. And that's fantastic. And what about for yourself, Yvonne? Thank you, Rachel.
So mine came about because I had been coaching women entrepreneurs who were seeking to flourish for at that time about 10 years. Background of 20 plus years of senior HR roles, so interviewing and hiring like 6,000 people, and I kept hearing the same message that women were not confident to ask. And knowing what my mum went through, I was passionate about helping those women to ask for what they wanted and like ask for the salary you want. Try and negotiate it because otherwise, data says that you'll lose up to $500,000 by the time you retire if you don't negotiate your first salary as a paid professional. But if I can work with entrepreneurs like I do now, we can level the playing field because we have no ceiling on our earnings. So the book came about because I kept sharing the same principles with my clients over and over again. And then I put an action item for every one of those 40 words. So if you flip should to could, for example, it takes the energy of it from being a obligation to a choice. And it's so powerful. And there's 40 of those. So it's helping women to ask for what they want and get it.
That's fantastic. And I have the book. I love
You
that.
have
I
my
love
book.
that. I
Yes.
have the book. I know. She's like, how are you going? I'm like, it's on my couch, right? It moved from the on my couch. And that's where I usually tend to flip through. And it's great. It's great. And I love your story of the cover and everything, but you're gonna have to contact Yvonne to find out more.
It's
And
a
Kathy,
free
how about
chapter on my website, just saying.
it's all going to be in the show notes. Everyone's going to have access and all of you as well. So Kathy, you are writing your book. Tell us.
Yes, I am actually in the final stages of finishing my book. And I've kind of been putting it off for a long time because I was so busy working with women and mentoring and coaching women that I kept saying, oh, I don't have time right now. But then I realized that the impact that I can have is so much greater with a book. And as you know, I think we have to be honest also that the book does give you some legitimacy when you're sometimes questioned about, well, why should we talk to you about this? Well, because now you can see all my experiences and what I've done throughout my life. I work with women globally through the UN and NGOs. I work with women here in the States and all to empower them to be leaders. And so that was really the motivation was I really wanted to share not just my story, but the stories of all these women I have worked with that never woke up one morning and said, I'm going to be a leader, but took on leadership because of either situation, survival, or just frustration over something they wanted to see changed. And they had some good ideas, but their voices were often silenced. So, you know, it's a process of that brought in a lot of different motivation, but I just really feel that I want to create a movement of women leaders. And so I need to maximize my impact. And a book is a way to do that.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better. I believe, and it is true, right? It is true. I mean, I see books as a piece of media, and we know that media grabs attention. It also does grab authority. They know you sat down, you wrote, there was editing. I mean, books are not, books are not articles, right? Books are not articles. And I know you put yourself under even a time gun where there was, an event coming up and there was a time frame. And you know what? I think sometimes that's when the best stuff comes up. I think in the wee hours, whether the wee hours of the morning or the wee hours of the night, I think that's when the best thing comes up. It just somehow drives. If you said to someone you got 4 years to write a book, you know what I mean? I think it's nice when you have kind of a bit of a time frame, and it does give authority. And I think it also allows us to meet ourselves. I was literally finishing up a article for a magazine yesterday, and I wrote about something I would never have written about, but it was because of the topic I had to follow, and I had to go into my life sometime and find when there was some kind of grief. Now, I didn't go for the normal grief. I went for a grief, and it was the grief. But when I changed one company to another, I was like, this is so bizarre to be writing about this. But I was like, oh yeah, this happened. And I remember coming home from that and just the experience that I had, grieving a good decision to a good decision. It was bizarre. I didn't see it coming. And I was in shock and cried for 4 days and all the things that I'm writing about. And I was like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that. I also think it gives self-confirmation, which comes out. I mean, Kathy, let's face it, you don't just help women in the US, you are on global stages doing international things. And so our words, whether said from stages, and she's, you've been on the 262 stages a number of times, whether we're saying that, I think it gives us even more our own self-credibility when we realize just how much we know, just how much impact we have. Like when you talked with that Yvonne of, 6,000 and Rachel, how it got you through your thing, and Peter, how you were inspired. And look at the book to the book. I mean, I love that, the book to the book, right? It's like, oh, okay, what's next? So thank you, Kathy. And Peter, we'll wrap up with you on this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it took me a few years to get this first book out there. It basically started in something that we've all shared, and that is the COVID-19. And what happened basically is that I had a practice where I was seeing people face to face, and I suddenly found myself in quarantine. Not me personally, but I was on a lockdown, and I was in a residence at that point in my life, believe it or not. It's almost like things are going in reverse for me. But anyway, that's the next book. This one stemmed from my desire to put out there the things that people can do to empower themselves from connecting with their subconscious. Okay. And so I set about, actually, it started hard to believe, only about a year ago that I started putting out free hypnosis sessions on my YouTube channel. And then one thing led to another. Writing the book was all a part of that, and giving people access to what's involved in hypnosis and how powerful that can be to really transform your life.
So the opportunity showed up, like the time
Yes.
opportunity showed up, and it got you creative and thinking. I know we've had a great conversation, a little more in depth. And so sometimes things show up and it gives you time to have that come to the surface. Look, I know it's kind of time to wrap up. And our audience absolutely they love these group shows. It's variety, and I think it talks to many different people about many different things. So I'd love to just kind of, we talked to you, everything's going to be in the show notes, the names, book launches, I think are super important. I'm sure we all can come back and talk about the power of the book launch, because that would be just a great dynamic show, of what that looks like. So I just like to kind of go around the room and say, maybe if you can just say the title of your book again. And honestly, in 30 seconds, if you can say if there was something that inspired you about that, did that title come to you right away, or did it take a little while to come to it? So Rachel, we'll start with you.
Yes, so my book is Insights and Inspirations, 300 journal prompts to cultivate joy, gratitude, and mindfulness. And it came to me through journaling. It was just instantly there.
Awesome. We have our journal queen in the room. Any mine?
Mine came in through a download. So writing the book was kind of like going through 75 hard for 9 months of writing, 5 o'clock every morning, half an hour visualization. So Words, Women, and Wisdom, I wanted to include the modern art of confident conversations because of the Me Too movement and things that were bubbling up at that time, and it aligned, but it came in a download.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Kathy?
Well, mine is still kind of being massaged, I guess, but the working title is Women's Work, Finding Our Voices, Changing the World. And I really wanted to play off the, oh, that's women's work, because that has been so derogatory for so long. But in reality, women's work in behind the scenes and, you know, anonymously has really shaped the world.
Wow. Very cool. Working title. We'll have to wait and see. Watch the Oscars. And Peter.
Yeah, so it's hard to remember now where the title came from. It just sort of just flowed from one day to the next, and I finally arrived at that. It basically, the way I do it, I like to do my own covers, book covers. Mm-hmm. So it stemmed from the artwork of having a mind, a brain. Mm-hmm. And it stemmed from there. After I had the main artwork of the cover, I then worked towards the actual title, The Keys to Success Are All in Your Mind. And I put the mind right over the brain. And, you know, that's kind of says it all.
That's awesome. I mean, look at all the different ways, you know, downloads and just journaling. So I'm going to ask you a completely different question that has nothing to do with authoring. And it's a quick question, and it's people go, oh my gosh, I don't know. I don't know what the answer would be. Don't worry. You can change it when you get off the show. I love music. I think music changes the world. I think authoring changes. I think all of creativity changes the world. So we're just going to kind of flip it here to your favorite radio station. And if you were on your way to a desert island and you were taking one album with you, it could be one album, one song, one artist. You only have room in one suitcase. It's carry on only. What album are you taking with you that you could not imagine not listening to for the rest of your life? And Rachel, you're smiling. Let's start with you. I've been kind of going around the same circle. So what's again? We're just going to go quick here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm smiling because it's impossible to choose one. But I will say for radio station, CKUA in Alberta, fabulous station. And they do stream internationally as well. And I love the variety. So
No. You know that's no. You're not selling encyclopedias here. One album that you're taking with you that you can't imagine. Let's go. What came to your mind?
I would say the one. Oh, it's so hard, but I'm gonna go with the Beatles. I'm gonna go with the Beatles.
Yeah. All right, the Beatles. Yvonne, for you.
Anything by Keith Urban. Yeah, that's my favorite. Gets played over and over. There is one album cover with him with bright blue eyes on a black and white background. The name is escaping me right now, but of his work.
Keith Urban and Kathy.
For me, it would be probably Demi Lovato, who is a newer singer. That she has an album, but it's titled Confidence. And the one song on it, all the songs are really about women's empowerment, but the one song called Confidence, it's like, what's wrong with a woman having confidence? And I love her lyrics.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. And Peter, quickly, one album.
Well, geez, I wish I could remember. I know the music of George Michael has always been someone who I thought was underrated. And I think he was pigeonholed, and unfortunately he passed away, but he had incredible talent and lyrics and voice and incredible arrangements. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So George Michael it is. Well, there you go. There's a variety as well. I want to thank you all so much for coming on to Mission Accepted and sharing part of your process and your project with us, and we know that we inspire people here. And I want to do a message to my audience. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for being so loving and so supportive, not only of me, but the people that come onto the show. You are constantly opening, sharing, and that is really what it's about. That's how the message gets out. So when these incredible people, they have their books, go see them, go check out their website, go follow them, go do all the things. We appreciate everything that you've done. Mission Accepted has been an exceptional. Our last book, you're sharing it. If you are an author and you're giving a gift away this year, make it your book. And if they have your book already, make it somebody else's book. If you want to be sitting where these people are sitting today, you want to come onto the show, this is not difficult. You go to devdrummond.com. It's really easy. There's a contact page, and it actually goes to my email before it goes to the team. And I'm happy to have that conversation about having you here. I know Yvonne talked about asking and how sometimes it's difficult to ask. Well, the 262 sisters that are part of the speaking and the authoring, of which there is hundreds. And if you'd like to speak on our stage, we have a spot for you. If you'd like to put words into our book, we are opening our book for a revision, and we have room for 33 people to join us as of today. I don't know when you listen to this show, if that's possible, but if you're listening to it right away and you want to be part of it, we would love to have you. But we do something really special called the Ask Party. And if you anywhere out there or on the screen want to be invited to the Ask Party, we as 262 sisters can have someone come along, and you literally will be sitting in a room just like you heard these people today. And it's your name, where you're from, and your one ask that will change your life in the next 30 days. And how interesting, Yvonne, you're correct. How interesting it can be difficult for people to get comfortable asking. But when you get into it, it gets fun. So if any of that sounds like interesting to you, then please join us and know that we have an upcoming summit of 40 speakers that are going to rock your world and inspire you. A lot of them author, because like Kathy said, a lot of speakers have books as well. And so please reach out, and we're happy to bring you into the family, whatever is going to inspire and motivate you. And if you want to get on the stage, then get on the stage with us. So thank you so much, Peter, Kathy, Yvonne, and Rachel. What a wonderful time. It was just wonderful to spend time with you and learn more all about you. And until next week, my dear audience, you be well and you stay groovy. Bye.